world. I'm John Batchelor. SpaceX, Starship on Super Heavy. Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black, and we've watched and waited for Bob's analysis of what we witnessed on Saturday. Bob, a very good evening to you. My amateur vision said that's a success, and then the data stopped coming in. Was it a success? Good evening to you, Bob.
Good evening, John. Yes, on Saturday, November 18th, SpaceX finally, after a 2.5 month delay by the federal government's bureaucracy, finally was able to launch Super Heavy Starship on its second test launch. This test launch was unqualified, a magnificent success, outdoing what was expected. For one, Super Heavy launched. All of its engines worked entirely. All 33 engines were firing entirely through the entire initial part of the flight. When the engines were supposed to cut off, they did. And then they did what they call a hot fire separation, which means that before the first and second stages, and the second stage is Super Heavy, is Starship, before Starship and Super Heavy separated, Starship's engines fire. And then, so they never stop or glide. They're continually accelerating. And then Super Heavy separates after Starship is fired. This is done by the Russians, but no American company or government rocket has ever really done this before. But they did it, and it worked. It worked. It was remarkable. Of course, shortly thereafter, Super Heavy was supposedly maneuvering for its attempt to land vertically in a splashdown in the Gulf of Mexico, but there were some problems, and its flight termination system fired and it self-destructed. Starship, though, continued to fire its engines as planned, it appeared, until it got essentially into orbit. It's low orbit. It's not an orbit that would be stable. The intention was not to complete the orbit, but to bring it down over Hawaii. There were some issues, apparently, at that point, just shortly before those engines were supposed to cut off. And so its self-destruct system operated. I speculated that when this happened, that this could very well have been SpaceX's intention as late as possible in both cases to fire the flight termination system, because there had been an issue with it on the first test flight in April, and this was one of the things that the FAA forced a delay on the launch because they're just nervous. And so by demonstrating the flight termination system works perfectly, that eliminates one item that the government can use against SpaceX in future regulatory situations. Thus, I must emphasize once again, this rocket did not explode. It was not a failure. It was an engineering test of two prototypes. They got far, far, far beyond where they hoped to go, basically reaching orbit, which is just spectacular. And so they're getting ready to launch. And so two things. One of the problems with the previous launch was that the Super Heavy did extensive damage to the concrete pad under the spaceship. And so SpaceX redesigned the launch pad, put in a deluge system to reduce the vibrations, and a special metal plate to protect the base. And this is one of the things the FAA and the Fish and Wildlife used to delay the launch. Musk revealed that launch pad essentially came through with great conditions. Quote, no refurbishment needed to the water-cooled steel plate for next launch. The picture he gave does indicate there might be some damage, but nothing significant. There's no reason this is going to slow things down. He also tweeted about the same time that they could be ready for a next launch within 3 to 4 weeks, about a month, which is what I speculated would be the case, because they got prototypes waiting in the assembly building. So there's no reason to wait once they figure out what's wrong. And I think it would take them about a month to really analyze and be ready to go again. And they can make some changes to the rockets that are waiting, but it won't take them long. They're designed to be upgraded quickly. And so, yes, they're looking to 3 to 4 weeks. Will they launch before the end of December? I don't think so. I predicted that with the FAA and Fish and Wildlife regulatory red tapers, the paper pushes, are going to push this into the February to April timeline. And the FAA has already announced that it's opened an investigation into the SpaceX mishap that occurred. And the mishap itself indicates they don't even understand that this is an engineering test. It's expected to fail in some manner. It's not a mishap. It's a test. But they're treating it like it's an operational airline and something went wrong and we must investigate. So expect this launch not to happen as planned. As I predicted last time correctly, I'm predicting now, I think it's going to be delayed. I hope I'm wrong. I'm really wishing a lot of people can make fun of me for being wrong about this, but I don't think
Bob,
so.
Bob, a couple of details. First of all, yes. I've reviewed the slow motion of Super Heavy lifting off. And it seems to race out of once the engine starts, and then all of a sudden it pops, it pushes, it jumps up.
Yeah.
Is that because Starship wasn't heavy? Would it be heavier on a lunar launch or an orbital launch?
I'll speculate. I'm not an engineer, though. One thing we do know is this, that this time Super Heavy, all 33 engines were functioning properly.
Right.
And that wasn't the case on the first launch. The first launch, it was very slow getting clearance. But this time, every engine was firing. So that could very well be the issue. I don't know what was in Starship, but I can tell you that it would be utterly silly for SpaceX to do this without a dummy mass inside Starship to duplicate payload. You're there and testing the rocket. So even if you don't have a real payload, you're going to put a mass in there that duplicates the weight so that you can get a real simulation of what a launch would be like. So I'm sure there's a weight there. I don't think that this that Starship was like.
Okay, second.
But that push, it could have been something having to do with the engine suddenly getting up to full power. It could be any number of things. I can only speculate.
All right, second thing. The concept is to do this frequently. And what comes back from space is the Super Heavy and is caught by the chopsticks. And then they put a new Starship on top and fire again. That's the concept. Have I got that correct?
That is correct, yes.
So we're looking...
And remember, both come back and are reused. So Starship would come back, and after a quick check over, it would be put in the chopsticks and placed on top of Super Heavy. And once again, SpaceX demonstrated it's able to do this very fast because it was able within 24 hours to de-stack Starship, fix the grid fins that were giving problems, and put it back on Starship and then launch the next day. So they can do that.
And all of this technology, the engineering, that was all available to NASA? For decades?
Everything you see here, it was available since the beginning of time. Obviously, technology has to be prepared to do it. You also have the courage to take risks and come up with new ideas. NASA has been routinely a government agency. It doesn't take risks. Its goal during the entire shuttle program is to make that program as boring as possible and to do as little innovation as possible once they had it launching. And so they didn't even try to be creative on these matters. SpaceX and Musk, with his leadership, is always trying to find ways to make the rocket function better. And they got to a point where they don't even now try to improve Falcon 9 because it's so reliable and operating just like an airplane. And so they're in the process of doing the same thing with SpaceX, with Super Heavy and Starship. The chopstick idea is beyond brilliant because forget about the idea of catching Super Heavy as it comes down. Just put that aside for a minute, even though that's part of the reason they're doing it. So they don't have to move it to the launch pad. It's already there. But put that aside. They incorporated the cranes and the assembly stacking process into the launch pad. That eliminates gigantic amounts of infrastructure and speeds operation enormously. And it's actually, you know, common sense is, my gosh, why not? And so they did it. That's the bottom line.
What is Saxavord?
Saxavord is one of the two spaceports that private operations are trying to build in the northern Great Britain in Scotland. Saxavord is on the Shetland Islands, which puts it really far north in the North Sea, out in the ocean. Saxavord had hoped to be doing its first launches right now. In January, it predicted its first few launches would be taking place in the fall of 23. Well, no launches are going on. And in fact, since August, construction at Saxavord has kind of ceased. I posted something over the weekend about how the construction firm has stopped work because bills weren't being paid. So that implies that it's got funding problems. But it seems the funding problems might be coming from other problems. They submitted a application to the Civil Aviation Authority of the United Kingdom for a license, the spaceport, in November of 22, a year ago. And at this moment, the CAA has not yet issued a launch license, and it's apparently been delaying that launch license. Saxavort had hoped to have the launch license to begin launching in the fall. Well, they now clearly are not going to launch in the fall. And in fact, it seems that they've decided to halt work and not pay bills because they don't have a launch license yet. This appears to be the CAA is doing the same thing to Saxavort that it did to Virgin Orbit. In Virgin Orbit's case, it delayed issuing a launch license so long that the company could do no launches, make no money, and eventually went bankrupt when its launch did go off. It failed, and they had no resources to recover. And so now CAA is twiddling its thumbs for Saxavort, and so they cannot launch. I would say this gives a great opportunity to the spaceports being developed in Norway and in Sweden. They're going to get some business, and I think both spacewalks in the UK, both at Shetland Islands, Saxavort, and in Sutherland, Scotland, are in trouble now because it's very clear the CEA has not fixed its problems, John.
What is Ursa Major?
Ursa Major is a rocket startup. In fact, some of the people on it were the original people working with SpaceX for its Merlin engine in the very beginnings of that company. They formed their own rocket engine company, Ursa Major, and they build rockets for a variety of rocket companies, and they're doing it, and they're selling them. There's no problem. Well, they've now announced they're going to enter the solid rocket industry. The engines they've been building have been liquid engines, liquid-fueled engines, but solid rockets are used mostly in missiles. They're also used often as strap-on boosters for regular civilian rockets. But either way, the military really uses solid rockets for all its missiles. And there's been an incredible problem because most of the stockpile of our missiles in the United States is now gone. It's all been shipped to the Ukraine. And so the military has been going crazy because the only two companies that build solid rocket missiles or components, Northrop Grumman and L3Harris, can't restock quickly. They could take anywhere from 5 to 18 years for those two companies to replenish the depleted stocks. And so they've been trying to encourage new companies to come into the business, and Ursa Major, a smart startup, sees a need, and so it's now going to start to ramp up production of solid rocket motors, and it says it has an advantage because it uses 3D technology, is printing technology, and therefore could build these things quickly. We'll see, but it's a smart move by the company because
Sierra
you
Space,
see a need, you make money from
Sierra
it.
Sierra Space is Dream Chaser. Is there a problem there, Bob?
It's an interesting question. On Sierra Space, for many years, Dream Chaser sat and didn't seem to be making any progress, and it was disturbing. And it's only now been shipped for final testing for a launch, hopefully before the end of this year, but probably in the early spring. It's ready to go, the first Dream Chaser Tenacity. And what I think is, and so what has happened recently is Sierra Space has shaken up its management staffing. It laid off about 165 workers that were working on things like Dream Chaser and hired another 150 with security clearances to shift focus to a lot of military contracts. I think what happened with Sierra Space is when Sierra Space was part of Sierra Nevada, the larger company, the larger company was distracted by this operation and wasn't that interested in it. When they broke Sierra Space off from the parent company and made it its own company focused on space, and that's about 2 years ago, things started to pick up pace. And so far, the company's been showing real signs of smart moves. And this shakeup, I think, indicates that the company is focusing where it can make the most profits quickly. And that's what's happening. I don't think it's a problem, but it is a change.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Beyond the Black. We're going exploring next. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.